Blog Talk Radio.
From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, it's 10 o'clock. Welcome to American Vernacular, a conversation with the nation. My name is Sandra Booker, and I will be your host for the next 60 minutes as we discuss the political, economic, social, and cultural issues facing our nation from an urban and secular perspective. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. That is Minority from the 1995 release, Very Early, featuring Frank Collette on piano, Bob Shepard on alto saxophone, the late, great Andy Simpkins on bass, the marvelous Paul Krybek on drums, and yes, yours truly on vocal. That is entitled Minority, the Gigi Grice composition. You can find that on cdbaby.com. Shameless plug there. Hey, everybody, it is great to be here this wonderful Wednesday morning. It is absolutely beautiful here in Southern California. And if you are elsewhere in the world and freezing your giblets off, my condolences, tongue in cheek. This is yours truly, Sandra Booker, on the air today, and we are picking up where we left off last week. The program was Freedom of Thought, The Rise of Atheism in America. This is part two of that program. And I want to say I had a wonderful experience over the weekend. I got to spend some time with Dr. Sakibu Hutchinson, along with Tony Bell and some other ladies on a panel that talked about atheism, the rise of atheism amongst women of color. And it was the Women of Color Beyond Faith Forum held at the Centers for Inquiry in Los Angeles. It was really a wonderful experience to be with others who have come to the position, come to the realization, embrace the idea that life is for living, and that trying to live beyond where you actually know you are is somewhat foolish, especially in lieu of the fact that there is no evidence to support that. I say to people all the time, and I guess it is upsetting when you've based your whole life on being able to live another life. But that's just not the way autopsy works. That's not how cremation works. I hear people say, hey, you know, I survived an accident. I shouldn't have survived. Well, I don't know anybody that's survived an autopsy. And if you do, please have them call 619-768-2924 because I want to talk to them. Or as Judge Judy would say, I'd like to see that. Brothers and sisters who have embraced the idea that life is now, life is for the living. I'm not going to make plans on life after cremation or autopsy or being eaten by a whale. I'm going to live now. I'm going to take full responsibility for every decision I make, and I'm going to be accountable for all the decisions I make. I do not require a get-out-of-sin-free card. I can understand why that might be absolutely frightening to someone who has been raised to believe that if you do that, God is going to punish you. And then your life is filled with strife and disappointment, disappointment, disappointment after disappointment, disappointment, disappointment. The same disappointment that a child feels after writing to Santa Claus year after year after year to get that big wheel, to get that Barbie dollhouse or the magic bake oven or dartboard or Rubik's Cube, and you write year after year after year after year and it never arrives. It never shows up, unlike the mortgage or the rent or the water bill or the food bill, or the gas bill, or mom's weave bill, or dad's medical bill. It never shows up, but you wait year after year after year after year. The difference between that and religion, the way that it is organized in the 21st century, is you pay for your salvation. That's right, and every weekend, and you better show up with that money. And unlike an annuity, you get no return on that money. Not in a way that is absolutely useful to you, nor does it get extended by way of inheritance to your children. And that may seem like a frightening thing to hear and embrace and contemplate and ponder when you have been told your whole life, just trust in the Lord. Just have faith. Just believe. Believe what? Just have faith in what? In whom? And what happened to having faith in yourself? Because just imagine, for as egotistical as our society is, but just imagine if you really felt that within me, I have the power to do great things. If you believe that the founding fathers were visionaries and did great things, do you realize they didn't do that with God? And everything that they did was the antithesis of what a God would have done? Okay, but scratch all of that. Imagine what it would be like for you to say, I am making this decision based solely upon what I know is factual and true. I'm not going to trust you. I want to see evidence. And until you have it, I'm going to reject this. And then the argument is made, well, but what with free will, don't blame God, you know, because we all have free will. Okay, I got that. But if it is your free will to inflict injury, pain, suffering, suppression, oppression, degradation on other people by way of religious groupthink, don't I still have the right to reject the God that you claim you serve that is so benevolent? Wouldn't that be more so reason to say, you know what? If you can detach yourself from what God says and this is your free thought at work, I'm going to wash my hands of all of it. What would that do to our society if we started to close churches the way we open private prisons? Wow. That's pretty radical, Sandra Booker. Where are you coming from with that? Those buildings sit empty until Saturday, Sunday. For what? Imagine the housing that could be provided on some of the plots where these great institutions of holiness stand right now. Radical. But see, the freedom of thought, the ability to think outside of the box, to actually articulate outside of your head and your mind, what you think and what you believe is the ultimate power. And that is why atheism is on the rise in this country. And perhaps rightfully so. I find myself often frustrated with my friends who are believers, because I find that they can believe very extraordinary things and then are frustrated when I say, no, thank you. And you can sell my ticket to heaven because I really don't want it. That's freedom. That is the ultimate freedom. That is a freedom that any person who has the unfortunate ability to say, I am the descendant of a slave, ever is entitled to have. I think when you have been the descendant of people who were kidnapped, captured, and sold for profit, you by birthright are entitled to reject the God or God ideology, deities, traditions, religious practices of any persons engaged in those activities. You have that right. Don't you know you have that right? Why shouldn't you look in the mirror and say, what has God done for me? And go down that list and check off every time you prayed and put your absolute faith in him and did absolutely nothing because you just had faith. I'm not going to get up and go look for a job. I'm just going to have faith. One is going to come knock on my door. I'm not going to do anything to get myself and my children off of drugs. I'm just going to keep praying and have faith that somehow we'll miraculously go through holy rehab and we'll make it. I'm going to have faith instead of chemotherapy to deal with my pancreatic cancer, my lymphoma. It doesn't work that way, people. It just doesn't work that way. And we are in a battle right now in the United States of America and really around the world, where so many people who want to get away from the oppression of religion find it at every single turn. I cannot blow my nose in public without someone declaring, "God bless you." Are you serious? Can't you not assume that I'm one of the group, that we all are? And have you ever said to someone, "Excuse me, I'm not a Christian, so you don't need to say that to me." What? Everybody got a black woman in them that come out when that happens. What? I mean, I was only being kind and being friendly, and you're going to tell me not to, God bless you? I recently had a colleague contact me to say to me, "I have a concert I'd love for you to come out and do, and I need this amount of artists, and it pays this." And I wrote her back and I said, "Well, thank you very much for the offer." I said, "But I'm not comfortable with you renegotiating my salary without renegotiating it with me." So I wrote her back and said, "Hey, if you can't afford to pay me this amount of money, and this is not a said contract event, I can't do it." And she wrote me back and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry you can't go on this amazing journey that God is sending me on. I'm sure you'll understand, and good luck." And I thought to myself, wow, did you really need to invoke God into this? And if God was so super duper awesome, rocking, fantabuloso, why is it he couldn't come up with the difference to make sure you could pay me what I'm due? Because see, if it was really about God, God should be able to come up with that difference so you don't need to negotiate down my contract. But I guess God don't work those kind of miracles, right? Right. As an American, as an individual, just like you, I have the right to have those thoughts and have them out loud. We have made ourselves prisoners of those people who have embraced faith and decided you must have it too. I am saying to those of you who want to reject the notion of organized religion, you have a right to do it under the United States Constitution, but not just that. You have the right to do it because you are a free-thinking individual, not born, trapped, shackled, tied to, fused by any religious thought at the time of your birth. It is all given to you. You have the right to reject it. Question your faith. If you question, "Where is God when the cops are beating the living hell out of me and I've done nothing but try to comply?" You have the right to question that God. You have the right to question any God that in a great Christian society, scratch that, great Judeo-Christian society that grows more anti-Muslim by the moment. When does that compassion and charity extend to me, your fellow American? And if it does not, and we all know it does not, you have to reject that God. And if you are a member of the group and you say, "You know what? I don't want to be a member of a group that would protect those amongst us who are charged with the best of care of our young people, only to destroy their trust in life, humanity, and even faith. I will not stand in allegiance with that. Stand in allegiance and put my hand over my heart to a God that was on duty when people were tied to ships. People were gassed on the other side of the world. Bullets sell faster than kisses can ever be given." Okay, but let's go back to the free will. Isn't free will a form of free thought? And if people have the ability to be free enough to get guns, go out and kill people, it was just an accident, or I was just scared, God forgive me to you. You have the right to say, I reject that idea. I reject those beliefs. I reject that point of view. And I reject the God that is the governor of it all. You have the right to do that. Those of us who believe in free thought in the United States of America, when do we stand up for it? When does the atheist, secular, humanist community have the right, the equal right to say, I reject all of it without having to fear for our lives, without being threatened? I hear so many Christians say Christianity is coming under attack. Anti-Semitism is sweeping Europe, which, by the way, is not the dark continent. We've already seen what I call Islamophobia and the hatred of, you know, Muslims in this country. We see what that's turning into. And yet these are all people that claim they have a God that is loving and caring and kind. And then those people say that religion has been hijacked. If you can burn the most sacred symbol of your own faith to terrorize other people, I believe that. But if people can still show up and call themselves Christians knowing that they'll allow some in the religion to do that, I can't be with those folks. And how can you do it? And if you can do it, don't say that you oppose it. Don't say that you oppose racism when you would allow the Ku Klux Klan to say we're a Christian organization. Because if you can make that type of disconnect, you obviously truly don't believe in the God you claim you know and serve. I don't see how you can have it both ways. And these are the conversations we should be having in this country, and without fear, without trepidation. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, lovers and haters, because I know I got some of them too. The civil rights, the success of the civil rights movement was because people in this country got called on their religion. What God do you serve if you can stand around and allow children to be lynched? Young men and women to be shot because they just want the right to vote. What kind of God do you serve that this would be acceptable when you've gone around the world claiming to defend democracy and you're denying it to people right here at home who are here in this home by default and the sins of your ancestors? How dare you? And if this is the conduct of the Christian and a great and powerful God, wow. If that's how you get down, yes, people have the right to say no thank you. And I think it's time to say no thank you. I think it's time for us to put reason before fantasy. I think it's time that we establish a political party in the United States of America where the candidate is not required to say, and God bless America. We need to become a community and organize as a community in this nation that says, no, your faith, your personal beliefs does not override society and what is in the best interest for everyone. That's not socialism, folks. That's common sense. The game is always to make those of us object to the hypocrisy of those in power and power that we've given them, entrusted to them, and yet don't hold them accountable for, because too many of us say, well, we'll just let the Lord fix it. The Lord is not going to fix infrastructure. The Lord is not going to fix education. The Lord is not going to fix the prison system. The Lord is not clearly interested in getting women off of the street along with their children and out of public housing and shelters. And clearly the people who claim to serve them, they're not interested in either. It's not getting done. Oh, well, that was just the free will people kind of dropped the ball this time. We have to stop dropping the ball. The rise of atheism in America, especially in the Black community and those coming out in the Black community, is going to create a very big political shift in this country. Make no mistake about it. There are some in this country who realize we've done the same thing over and over and over and over again. We can't do it anymore. If segregation is what you want, you're about to get it, folks, and I think that's a great thing. Someone should have the courage to say, if you want segregation, this is the kind of segregation we want. If you want to be separate from us, great. And let us, the free thinkers, the skeptics, even the cynics, who want to live by reason instead of, well, I won't use that term. Yeah, well, retardation. Who want to say, you know, I have enough respect for my neighbor. I don't need a gun. I mean, this is why I don't understand any of this. We have all these Christians, all these believers, the faithful, and you all have guns? I mean, who has a God and still needs a gun? I don't get it. And if you need a gun, what does that say about your faith in God to protect you and keep you from striking your foot against a stone? Think about this. Don't just be told believe with your eyes closed and your fingers stuck in your ear while someone comes up from behind you and puts their hand over your mouth and rams you in the rear. Got it? Freedom of thought. And more importantly, freedom to think critically is what we are missing in this country. No one wants to be questioned, challenged on what they say. And you don't know where they've gotten it from, and they don't know either. Oh, I heard it from the guy who said, well, I don't really know, but you know how it is. No, I don't. I don't know anything. You've told me nothing. Freedom of thought means you are willing to find a different avenue from where you get your information instead of the same going to the same trough where it's just being grinded out to you. Do you honestly believe you are hearing the truth when ABC, CBS, NBC tells you the same thing? Have you ever heard an atheist run for public office? A humanist run for public office? A secularist run for public office? Someone who says, you know what, I'm not going to stand here and say, and God bless you and God bless America. But imagine if we became a party that said, we have the right to have candidates that are just this way. And they're not all lawyers either. That is real freedom. And that is freedom of thought as well. So I'm reaching out to the agnostics, the atheists, the free thinkers, the secularists, the humanists. I'm reaching out to you. And I'm saying to you, help me make this platform where we can do that. I cannot be the only person who wants to be free of God being shoved in my face on a daily basis. I want the freedom to be an individual without being told that I'm destined for eternal damnation because I don't tithe 10% of my hard-earned money every week to give to a God who you tell me owned and created the whole world. Okay, yeah, all right. And it may sound as if I'm being mocking, and I am. The thing is, we never have a conversation in this country about race because the moment we do, I've had white contemporaries say to me, I don't want to talk about that. I know you don't want to talk about it. But that same person will call me about your soul. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Are you out of your mind? Are you drinking the Botox these days? And yet we don't even hear the insult in that. We don't hear it. Some of us don't hear it. if more people relied on reason and not just wishing, we would have a different kind of society. If more people understood, I have the power to make decisions, and you do it anyway because that's what free will is. So you exercise it every day anyway, and then you turn around and say, but I need a God to help me do it. No, you don't. No, you do not. Let me explain something to you. There is a reason you go to a hospital when you're really in a life-threatening situation and not a church. Do you know why? Number one, no Dilaudid at the church. There's Dilaudid at the hospital. And there's also a guy that went through 8 years of residency and an internship and actually became a doctor. And if you're really lucky, she's board certified. At church, chances are it's going to be locked and closed if it's not a Sunday morning or a Saturday afternoon bingo. If you want to put your faith in that, that's your choice. If you want to believe in that, that's your choice. You're entitled to believe that the earth is simply that if you want to. No one has the right to tell you you can't. Someone has the right to say, well, I wouldn't believe in that based on blah, 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 blah. That's not telling you you can't. That's simply saying why they don't believe that and offering you reasonable evidence as to why. But to the believers of the world, you are not entitled to tell those people who have made a decision for themselves how they should live based on what you have chosen to believe. No one who is a Christian or Jewish or Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Coptic whatever, and I don't mean to be dismissive in that regard, Coptic Christian, you do not have the right to tell a woman what to do with her body. You don't have the right to stone her to death or burn her at a stake or throw her off a bridge with baby in womb because of what you have chosen to believe. Freedom of thought, freedom of expression is exactly that. Freedom. Freedom. And if you have the right to bear arms and have no one infringe on that right, that same freedom must not be infringed upon by those people who speak differently, look differently, think differently, believe differently, live differently than you have chosen to do. And that is the battle that is definitely underway right now in our country. I do not see the Christian being persecuted because I don't see churches being closed down, padlocked, bombed, as if they were in the Gaza Strip. I'm not seeing that. What I have seen are people who call themselves Christians, and I've yet to see the general Christian population stand up and say, no, you're not. But those people set fire to crosses, to terrorize, intimidate, humiliate, degrade other people, other citizens, and in many cases, fellow believers. The Huffington Post published an article where the Ku Klux Klan said, we're not a racist group. We are a Christian organization. A Christian organization. What I found astounding, almost unbelievable, that no like a Joel Osteen or a Billy Graham step to the podium to say, this is not consistent. This is not consistent with Christianity. That silence should have spoken. spoken volume, not only to Black people, but to white people who call themselves Christians, Latino people who call themselves Christians, Jewish people who are converted to Christianity. It should have sickened Judeo-Christians. But silence. Silence. And you wonder why there is a rise of atheism in America? You wonder why? How can any person continue to stand by and believe in that? And can you fault any person who says, I will not. It can feel very isolating to make the decision to be independent in thought and life and action and deed. It can be very isolating when you have outed yourself, as I have especially, about what you believe and to make no apology for it. But there are great men and women who have done that throughout history, not even seeking to make history, but because it was the right thing to do. It can feel very lonely when you choose a life where you are fully responsible for the decisions that you make and you take accountability for everything you do. That can feel overwhelming to get up in the morning and not feel the need to say, oh, somebody help me get through the day. And you choose to do it without pills, alcohol. I would never tell someone not to smoke marijuana because that's just ridiculous. But you don't need a crutch. That requires that you believe in yourself, that you have faith in your ability to exist in the world as opposed to being a lemming of it. And if you are in a society that says you don't need to do that for yourself, then you have the right and responsibility to change that society. Come out of the shadows. Stand into the light. Embrace your truth. This program is dedicated to discussing the political, economic, social, and cultural issues of the day. And this is a serious political, economic, social, and cultural issue because it impacts the lives of those people who are willing to say, no, not for me, to organize religion. And all that comes with that, the racism, the bigotry, the discrimination. There has to be protection for those people under the law. I do not think that is possible until there is the ability to elect free thinkers to public office who are openly free thinkers to public office. We need more scientists in public office. We need more teachers, philosophers, even poets. We have to abandon the fear of being the different ones, the other ones. And I also want to say something that I think is very, very important that I think people miss. This terrible misnomer that if you're an atheist, you can't be a racist. That is absolutely outrageous. And you believe that you're a complete idiot. Don't believe that for 2 seconds. Just because you don't believe in a God does not mean you don't have enough hate in your heart to pick up a gun, walk into an apartment, and execute 3 people because you don't like them. That would tell me you have even more of a reason to do it. We try to kill what we don't know. We try to kill what we hate. And sometimes we succeed. We should not. We never should be condoned for it, protected for it. You are listening to American Vernacular, a conversation with the nation. My name is Sandra Booker. It's always wonderful to be here with you every Wednesday morning. And look, I want to remind you to join me for Sandra's Rant every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Central Time on Brass Knuckle Progressives Radio with my good friends, Scott Henderson and Kona Lowell. I just let it rip on what's happening that particular day, and it's always something good. Tomorrow we'll be talking about Rudy Giuliani, his attacks on President Obama, and why it's absolutely the loudest of dog whistles when white politicians say that the president does not love his country, and what that really means and why there needs to be pushback against that type of blatant racism in our politics. If you get an opportunity to check out the little more, I think that my main man, Martin Short, did a brilliant job of taking down Rudy Giuliani. I'll give you my take on that tomorrow as well. I want to remind you to visit me at www.americanvernacular.org. And I want to tell you that next month it is my absolute privilege and honor to present on this program a living civil rights icon. Her name is Jane Elliott. She will be coming to the program for the full hour to talk about her work and her life as an anti-racist, what that really means as an advocate for social justice, and to discuss the blue-eyed, brown-eyed exercise some almost 50 years later. I really hope that you will check out the website and follow us. I'll give you more information once we've confirmed the date. She is coming to the program. I had the privilege and honor of doing a 9-minute interview with her, and I will be featuring excerpts of that interview on this program as we lead up to having the great Jane Elliott here on American Vernacular, A Conversation with the Nation. Folks, the time right now is 10:44. We are going to take a little bitty break for the cause. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about a young man named Brian Elder, I believe that's the correct pronunciation of his name, and what he is doing to change the political landscape here in the United States of America. And just in time for the 2016 election, folks, they'll tell you it can't be done. But I'm always one to give the underdog the opportunity to tell us why it can be done. And I'm going to give you some information on this young man and how you can get him and be a part of this movement. It's happening now, folks. You are listening to American Vernacular only on the Blog Talk Radio Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, white geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so
My Favorite Things from the CD Very Early, featuring the great Frank Collette on piano. Yours truly on vocals, and sometimes we do that around here. I get calls once in a while, hey, Sandra, why are you singing? I'm not singing anywhere, so I put a little music on the program for everybody. I'm here in my doghouse studios with little Roscoe, the Chihuahua, and Ella, the beautiful Pitbull, as we bring you American Vernacular, A Conversation with the Nation. Say, folks, I've said on this program before, and I'll say it again, until we have a party that is not financially bound and gagged by either one of the current political parties, we're not going to make real change in this country. We had the opportunity to do it with the election of President Barack Obama, but we very quickly realized that hope has very little chance of overcoming boundless amounts of money. We have to figure out a way, number one, to generate money and interest the way we did it, the way we community organized and did it when Barack Obama was elected president. And there is a young man that I've been in communication with. I think he's got all of the right ideas, got the fire in his belly, and he's got the brilliance in his brain to really make positive change and bring people together with the full understanding. It doesn't have to be easy, but it does have to be done. And so he is the founder of We the People Movement. He's got an amazing page on Facebook. I encourage you to check it out. I hope he gets on other platforms because I'm having my issues with Facebook and their censorship, but we'll talk about that later. But his name is Brian Alger, and I've asked him to come on and talk to you, the listener, about We the People Movement, give information on the website. It is an organization that's committed to grassroots activism for the people, not the profit of the few. And it says, we welcome you to share the voice, browse through our interesting content, and join the conversation. We the People is you. I would like to, without any further ado, welcome to this program Brian Alger. He is the founder of We the People.
Sandra, you're too kind, Sandra. I do appreciate it.
I'm really impressed with the work that you're doing. I'm really impressed with just the spirit in which you're doing it. I think you really get the importance of cutting those purse strings from major corporations and getting people involved in ways of raising money, coming together in their particular areas and organizing so that we can start to span out, collect the signatures that need to be collected to get it submitted to the Secretary of State in those areas so that we can actually create a third party, a legitimate third party, instead of being an offshoot of the Democratic Party or the Democratic / Independence Party, the way the Tea Party is of the Republican Party. Tell me how We the People came about, how long you've been doing this, and what's your goal for 2016?
Well, Sandra, I've been tracking things politically for quite a while right now, and it seems we're out of options. As you've noted, too much money in politics is definitely bleeding the system dry, and it's just about making people aware, making them active in the political process for more than just an election cycle. That the issues are really what matters, and if you give people a forum in which they can communicate those, then you'd be really surprised at what they can come up with.
Well, let me say this. If somebody so you're interested in bringing people together, but at the end of the day, what's the goal? Is the goal to create a third party? Is the goal to just bring people together, to have them attract different candidates? Are you looking to build a party and I take maybe take some of the best and brightest from the Democratic Party into your fold?
Well, that would definitely be great. But when it comes down to it, that's for the people to decide. And right now I'm just starting. I do have a good circle of people, friends, both independent and Democrat. And a lot of us are wanting a new party, a new forum to escape the two-party system. I really wish that could shape out. I've heard some exciting things about what you're working on, and I'm definitely keeping in tune in case there's any way that can be plugged into the movement as well.
Well, my belief is that until we are ready to put together a third party in this country and really hit the ground running, get name the website, get the volunteers out there fired up and ready to go, get them spanned out across the country to collect signatures, get those signatures certified by the Secretary of State, and then start looking for young, enthusiastic candidates to run on a progressive, independent platform.
Exactly.
I just do not see us moving forward as a nation. The reason so many people did not come out in this last midterm was because the racism and the politics of racism reared its very ugly and real head. When you asked the first duly elected black president of the United States not to show up and campaign with you, if you don't think all of his supporters, black, white, Latino, Asian, Native American, and otherwise, are going to stay at home, you're sadly mistaken. And that was the decision of the Democratic Party. I was absolutely stunned that Claire McCaskill and all of these people started saying how unpopular this president was. To whom?
Exactly. And I personally have always liked Obama. Sure, I'll be critical of the president just like anybody. But when it comes down to it, we really have to look forward at 2016 and making sure we're not stuck with the same old choices.
I feel like the American people are being forced into accepting either Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton. I want to take a moment to remind everyone that we were told Hillary Clinton would be the nominee. Thank you to the late Tim Russert for saying Barack Obama is going to be the nominee, whether you like it or not, people. That is the reality. And if people had stayed away, not voted, not showed up, not turned out, what they told us would have become the reality. I'm saying to the American people, as I'm sure you are, do not accept that. Do not accept being told who your nominee is. It is still, this is not a monarchy, people. If this is a democracy, we have to make it a democracy and allow every individual who may have something to offer to put their hat in the ring and we get to decide. It should not be an appointment.
I agree with you 100%. There's a primary process for a reason, and it seems that a lot of the members and our friends of the Democratic Party have forgotten that.
They have forgotten it, and I think we need to remind them by not showing up and being there this election cycle, too. However, there's a great deal at stake. I personally do not see Hillary Clinton taking us forward as a nation, and to vote for her, to elect her to office just because we want a woman president is a ridiculous notion. I want the most qualified individual in the office, personally, who will continue to keep in place a lot of the good things that President Barack Obama has done. I think we would be absolute fools not to consider people like Cory Booker if we're looking for young, fresh faces. On the other hand, I think we'll be absolute fools if we did not consider Joseph Biden for president.
Are you saying to consider Biden?
I'm saying to consider Joseph Biden. I don't understand why he is an automatic priori disqualify.
Right. And I mean, when it comes down to, I don't have too much of a problem with Biden, but we do need something that will actually energize the people a lot better. Why aren't you running?
Because I see how black people are running for public office treated in the United States of America, and I would like to live, see my very old.
You're black?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, I very am.
But I
we
wanted to thank you.
Something new. knew about each other every day, folks.
I wanted to thank you for the entire show today. In the light of the subject that you're bringing up right now today, I read an article about the water being stopped from running to Palestine by Israel. They turned off the taps to Palestine. And why would anybody in the name of religion want to deprive other people of something basic like water?
Let me say, because for me this is true, we have to, just as Christianity in this country has been hijacked and Christianity around the world has been hijacked, if you believe in what Christianity is, if you do not believe that Judaism has been hijacked by Zionism, you are absolutely living in the dark ages and by choice. What Israel has done in the name of fleeing religious persecution by European Christians, the Palestinians on their land, is an outrage, period. And it is absolutely disgraceful that the United States continues their support of out of this based on that conduct. And to think that the American people, for all that was sacrificed in World War II to liberate the European Jews, to think that we can stand by and do this as if it's not happening, it boggles the mind. And we should all be ashamed. And we should be calling for divestment. But we should be standing in the streets in droves in an absolute outrage that Benjamin Netanyahu has been invited to come and speak before our Congress and not at the invitation of the president. And that's on us as a people.
And that's very true. And that's definitely something we'll look forward to in these days to come.
Thank you so much for coming on the program. I really appreciate it. We've got 60 seconds left. Brian, can you give us the website address for the People Movement?
Yes, we can be found at wethepeoplemovement.net.
That's wethepeoplemovement.net. Hey, I'm definitely going to have you back on the program so you can keep us updated on what you're doing. And thank you so very much, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, everyone.
You are listening to American Vernacular, a conversation with the nation. Hey, this is Sandra Booker. Please tune in next Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Join me then when my friends will make more discoveries about me. Be sure to follow me on Google+. You can also find out about upcoming performances at www.sandrabooker.com. That's www.sandrabooker.com. This is Urban Radio for urban people. This is Progressive Radio for progressive people. This is Real Radio for We the People. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Wandering alone, lead me to finding me.